going to be trying to look after Helen, and then all the situation with the passing of the father. So just remember all these people in prayer. It's a lot of things piling up there right now, and then put on top of that all the COVID restrictions, et cetera, et cetera. We also have Joy Black, who is still going through COVID infection. So remember her. She is connected to Mike and Marianne Lachance. Sue Black is also with health issues. So do remember her as her body is reacting to the cancer, et cetera. Heather Compt, and it was nice to see Heather on here this morning. Again, do remember Heather. Wherever you are, Heather, hi. Here's a big hug for you. And do remember her. And do remember Jim. Poor Jim. He's probably having to fend for himself and go get his own cup of tea and whatever. And maybe even, anyways, we'll leave that alone. But do remember Heather. Our little granddaughter, she broke her wrist, her arm. And so it's in a cast. It went together, back together fairly good. They had to sedate her to do that. Some of you saw the posting on Facebook. And she's actually quite chipper. And she's up and around. The only problem is she's very awkward trying to get dressed with a big cast and her arm, you know, sticking up. But anyways, we're thankful that it wasn't more serious. Still in the prayers, remember Roberta's Place. My heart is really touched by what's happening at Roberta's Place. So just remember that place, the staff, some of the residents that are still going through this. I don't imagine it's over yet. Just keep them in your prayers. That's a horrible situation. A few weeks ago, when I was opening, I had used the idea of who am I in some of the video songs that I had picked out and chosen to do. And so I was still thinking about that. I'm a slow thinker, so I'm still thinking about who am I. And coming up with a few answers here. So today we're going to start off by a group you probably might not know who they are, but Big Daddy Weave. I am redeemed. So who am I? I am redeemed. And then one by Rhett Walker, I am a believer. And they're both, I think, got really good words to them. You may find the music is maybe a little louder than you like, but it's still, the words are very good in helping us with that question as to who am I. When that is finished, then we'll have, I'll open in prayer, and then Tom will come up to speak.
See, was the struggle haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failures. This prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight, it's already been won, and I am redeemed. You set me free. am redeemed. I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy. Named by the voice of my shame and regret. When I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. Stain, 'cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. Different now that my heart's been found, nothing really feels the same. I hold my head a bit higher, I lift my voice a bit louder. Yeah, something inside has changed. I am a mountain mover, water walker, more than just an overcomer, 'cause I've been set free. I am a gospel preacher, heart on fire, freedom singer, testifier, 'cause I've been redeemed. I am a believer. I am a believer. I know this is not my home, I know I don't walk alone. No matter what comes my way, I have peace through the trouble, I have joy through the struggle. Now my hope's in a brighter day. I am a mountain mover, water walker, more than just an overcomer, 'cause I've been set free. I am a gospel preacher, heart on fire, freedom singing, testify.
just open in prayer now. Our God, our Father, again, we want to thank you for this time that we can be together. We want to thank you again for the privilege of being able to meet together and to have the Word of God opened. And we pray your blessing upon Tom as he opens up the Word of God and does this exercise with the painting, etc. Lord, help him in all these things to be able to deliver his thoughts as, that he's prepared, that it might be a blessing to us, and it also it might be a blessing to those that are watching over the media services. But our Father, too, we pray your blessing upon all those names that we mentioned earlier as to for prayer, especially for Lynn Lockhart's family at this time. We just put them up before you to the throne of grace and ask, Lord, to bless and to move and to work, that all through this it might be for your glory. So we come to you at the beginning of this meeting, as we come to you with all our needs, we look to you in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior's name. Amen.
Excuse me. Okay, I'm ready. Well, good morning to everyone. This is a little different than what we're used to. I've got some painting behind me, and I did that. You might be saying, I wouldn't be proud of that, Tom, but there it is. and some other things will be a little bit different today as well. We normally use this meeting to look into the Word of God to build up the saints. It's for the church, people who are part of God's family. But for this month, it was important for us to start where we're going to start this morning, and I think you'll see why as we go along. So let me do a couple of finishing touches here. In the late 90s, which for some of you was a really long time ago, but for others of us, we feel like that was probably yesterday. In the late 90s, Time Magazine, they did a poll. They asked people a question, and it had to do with a topic that we're all very familiar with. To one degree or another, we can all relate to this. So pay very close attention. If you haven't seen this before, I'm going to make yellow letters appear using black paint. They asked people a question about this word. Hopefully you can read that. They asked them a question about fear. Now, we can all relate to that topic, fear. We all have fears. This is the question they asked him. Hope you're following along with me. Now, I don't know what you're saying at home, but I could hear in the room with me people sounding that out. What is your worst fear? Now, that can be a pretty deep question to ask a stranger when you're just asking questions for a polling question. But when you think about that, what comes to your mind if someone were to ask you that question? What is your worst fear? I mean, I can think of some pretty scary stuff. In this poll, Time Magazine, late 90s, I can remember the top four results. I think you'll be surprised by some of these. This is what people said of their worst fear. We'll start with number four. Number four was this. Hope you can read that. Can you read that in the room? Mice. Number four, mice was number four on people's worst fears. Now, that was a little surprising to me. I don't know any, and I hope this doesn't sound too chauvinistic. I don't know too many men who are afraid of mice. And if you are, you know, you can squeak up and tell me about it. But I've heard that elephants are afraid of mice, and they're pretty big, strong creatures. So I don't know, maybe there's something to it. And maybe it has to do with the number of mice. You know, one's okay, but 100, I don't know if I'd like that too much. Number three on the list was this one here. I don't know if you can read that one yet. Spiders. Now this one, I can kind of understand this one, because where I grew up, we had black widow spiders, we had brown recluse spiders, and both of those are pretty dangerous. They can make you really sick, they can cause spinal problems, it's a big deal. But you know what, I grew up running in the woods and camping and hiking, and I was never really afraid of getting bit by one of these things. But some people are. I mean, they made a movie about that, right? Arachnophobia. And a lot of people are scared of spiders. Number two on the list. If you're like me, you're probably thinking, okay, that mice, spiders, wonder what number two was. And maybe you're looking at what you now know are going to be letters and trying to figure it out. Number two on the list was this. Now, Dr. Craig, don't shoot the messenger. Dentist was number two on the list. of people's worst fear. Worst fear. Now, I got to say, sometimes it's not pleasant being at the dentist office. You're in that chair and they're scraping on your teeth and maybe they're poking you and drilling your teeth. But worst fear, but that's what they said. Number one on the list was this. Death. Death was number one on the list. And you know what? I mean, this was Time Magazine, and I can understand that. Why people would say death. Some of you may be thinking, why wasn't public speaking on the list at the top of the list? I don't know. This is what people said. But there's a solution to every single one of these fears. If you're afraid of mice, you know, set some traps. If you don't want to kill them, you know, you could get some of those ones that you catch them alive and you let them go outside so they can come right back in. You could do that. Spiders, you can get a fly swatter. They work for spiders too. They got spray. If you're a university student, you're strapped for cash, a rolled up flyer will work as well. You can take care of those spiders. Dentist, you know what? You don't have to go. Nobody's making you go to the dentist. You might not have teeth in 12 or 15 years, but you don't have to go. And death, well, the solution to that fear involves two very important people that I want to talk about today. And that's what we're going to talk about over here. The first person, well, they're pretty important. Each one of us makes a pretty big deal out of this person. So that first person is you. Now, you is a really popular subject these days and has been for quite some time. We've got social media. We've got Facebook where people can look at you and hear about your day and what you're having for supper. We've got YouTube so you can make videos of yourself. You is very popular these days. We care a lot about you. You care a lot about yourself. It involves this person here too as well. If you're trying to figure these things out, you've probably guessed who this person is. This person is God. Now, a lot of people have many different thoughts about this person. Who they are, what they're like, the things that they do. And a lot of people have questions about who this person is. Where are they? I can't see them. Are they just up in the clouds? Some people say, you know what? I don't believe in that. I don't believe that there's a God up there. But really, if you're thinking of a person with a long gray beard who's sitting up in the clouds, who's waiting for you to have any kind of fun so they can strike you down. Well, I don't believe in that kind of God either. That's not the God of the Bible. But this God, the God of the Bible, he has revealed himself in the Bible. He has told us what he is like. And one of the things that we know is that he loves you. He cares deeply about everything in your life. The Bible says that he knows the number of the hairs on your head. It's my understanding that the average human loses 100 hairs every day. And if you're fortunate, your body replaces those. But you're always losing hair. And if the ladies, you're brushing your hair and hair's coming out, and that's just a normal everyday thing. God knows. That was 3,682. That one was number 400. That one was number 5. He knows the number of hair on your head. He knows when one falls out. If he cares that much about you to take notice of something so small and insignificant, how much do you think he cares about your eternal soul, about the bigger things that happen in your life? He cares deeply. But there's a problem. The problem is that even though he wants to have a relationship with us, there's a barrier between us. I'm going to let this red line symbolize that barrier. It blocks us from God. And it's this barrier that causes all kinds of problems for us in the world. I mean, you think about globally, this problem is the reason why we've had wars. This is the problem why we have human trafficking in our world today, in our nations, right? Our leaders can't get along with one another, really, because of this problem. And some people try to solve this problem themselves. They say, I do want to get to God, so I'm going to be the best person I can. I'm going to volunteer my time and try to help people, but it doesn't quite make it. Or they say, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to give money to the poor. But that doesn't quite make it either. Now, this problem has a name. It's represented by these letters over here. I don't know if you can read that. It's because I haven't finished it. The problem is sin. And some people say, well, I don't like that word. I don't even want to think about that. You're getting, you're one of those Bible thumping people. Well, what the Bible describes as sin, it actually comes from a Greek word called hamartia. And the idea behind that word was missing the mark. So you might have some Greek soldiers, some archers out there target practicing, and if they let that arrow fly and they miss the bullseye, they might say, oh, hamartia, I missed the mark, I missed the bullseye. And that is exactly the problem with us trying to get to God, because we can't do it perfectly. We can never meet the standard. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, what's the glory of God? Well, part of his glory is the fact that he is perfect. He is other, is one of the ways the Bible describes it. He is other. What does that mean, he is other? It means he's not like us. He is completely separated from us. We know what we're like. If we're honest with ourselves, we have this problem. We try to do good, but we don't do it good enough. We try to make a difference. We try to be positive, but we don't even live up to our own standards. This problem, I don't like it. I don't like that word. I don't like what it makes people do. I don't like what it makes me do. You talk about looking at the person in the mirror, and when we're honest with ourselves, oftentimes we don't like what we see. It's because of this problem. It gets worse. The Bible says that the wages for sin is death. Death. That means each one of us has the death penalty hanging over our heads. That's a serious problem. What can we do about it? We try to get to God, but we're not good enough. We've got this problem of sin, and it's a big problem. The death penalty. Well, the Bible says that God demonstrates his love towards us. We talked about how much he loves you. God demonstrates his love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He did that very thing on a cross. We couldn't get to him, so he came to us. And so now this sin problem, he has taken out of the way. It's not that we don't sin anymore, but we have been forgiven of it. I'd like to look at one of the most famous Bible verses there is in the book of John. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. In John chapter 3, one of the first verses many people learn is John 3:16. But sometimes people don't know any of the other verses around it. That verse comes from a conversation that the Lord Jesus had with a man named Nicodemus. It says that he was a ruler of the Jews, and he came to Jesus by night. And he wants to know what is going on. He says, we know you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God be with him. He knew there was something different about him. And he knew what the Old Testament said about that there was this one who was to come. And so Jesus tells him, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, of course, Nicodemus knew what Jesus was talking about, referring to when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they had been grumbling and complaining against the Lord. And he sent fiery serpents in among them. And people would be bitten by these snakes, and it was deadly. That people were dying, and so they were crying out to Moses, Lord, tell God we're sorry, we'll change, we'll do whatever he wants us to do. And so God instructed Moses to make this brass serpent and to hold it up on a pole, and all the people would have to do if they were bit by the serpent is by these fiery serpents, is to look at this brass serpent that Moses had made and lifted up on a pole, and they would live. So the Lord Jesus is saying, I'm like that brass serpent. Sin is like being bitten by these snakes. We have this problem and we're dying. We need to look to Jesus and live. He goes on to say, that whoever believes in him, this is verse 15, should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's a beautiful verse, and it encapsulates this whole message very clearly. For God so loved the world. He's not talking about planet Earth. He's talking about the people on planet Earth. He's talking about you, and he's talking about me. That he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. That whoever, anyone who would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, he's not talking about a physical death. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. That day, the day of our death, is coming. It might come to me today, or it might come to me 50 years from now. I don't know. But that day is coming for me, and it's coming for you. So he's not talking about a physical death. He's talking about a spiritual death. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Spiritual life, life that lasts forever. Now, the Lord Jesus is saying this. So let's not stop there, because he explains a little bit more what this all means. And verse 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. What? I thought that's what you Christians were like. You're very judgy people. You're judging. You think you're better than other people. Well, that's not a proper understanding of what the word of God says. But he says he did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now that verse 18, I think is very powerful. I remember I was talking about this polling with Time Magazine. When I was a teenager, my youth group did some polling. We'd take these VHS cameras. I don't know if you remember those. You kind of hold it on your shoulder. And we would go to these shopping malls and ask people. Now, and I grew up in North Carolina, so this is not quite the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. We were pretty close. So you'd think you'd get some good answers. We'd ask people, in your opinion, how does someone get to heaven? And we got all kinds of answers. We also asked them, in your opinion, how does someone deserve to go to hell? And when we asked that question, we got answers like, oh, well, you got to be really bad to go to hell. I mean, those are, you know, people who have murdered and raped. And I mean, that's reserved for really bad people. But then you ask what you have to do to go to heaven, and you get answers like, well, I know the Ten Commandments are a part of that. You got to, you know, do your best to obey the Ten Commandments. And other people say, well, you can't really know. You just got to do the best you can. So if you think about it, those two thoughts, and I know there's many other thoughts about that, they're not consistent. If you have to try really hard to get to heaven, but hell is reserved for the worst, there's no middle ground. You would never know where you stand. And as far as the Bible is concerned, once someone enters into eternity, they close their eyes in death, they go to one of two places. They go to be with the Lord in heaven, or they go to a place that a lot of people don't like to talk about, don't like to think about, a place called hell, forever separated from God. He who believes in him, the Lord Jesus, is not condemned. So it's not about how well you can obey the Ten Commandments. It's not about how strictly you can keep the law. It's not about how often you come through the doors of a church. It's not about if you have a quiet time reading your Bible and praying every day. It's not about that. It says, he who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. The sin carries a death penalty. You don't have to murder or rape or steal. We are fallen creatures. Romans 5:12 says that because of one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Whoever has not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus says, is condemned already. So hell is not necessarily reserved for the worst of the worst, because we're all sinners. Hell is reserved for Satan and his angels, the demons. It wasn't created for man. But that is the only place left for someone who has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, talking about the Lord Jesus. And men loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. I find in my conversations that most people who have a problem with the Lord Jesus, it's not a problem with the intellect, although I think it has to make sense. If you're listening to me and you're saying, Tom, it doesn't quite make sense to me yet. Well, I would never ask you to believe something with your heart that doesn't make sense in your head. But usually that's not the problem. It's not a problem with the intellect. It's a problem with the will. People love the darkness. They say, well, Tom, what you're saying makes sense, but if I do that, if I believe on him, then I know there's going to be a change. And I don't know if I want to change. And fair enough, because the Bible says that before someone believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they are a slave to sin. So I get it. But he can set us free from that. The good news gets better, though, because the Lord Jesus did not stay dead. He did die on that cross. But 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He lives today. We serve a living Savior. And my message to you this morning would be, if you have not yet placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would do that today. You might say, how do I do that? How do I believe in a God that I can't see and that I can't hear? Well, you can hear him through the Word of God, and you can see him through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, we can't see the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, but we can read about him in the Gospels and the New Testament. We read about his life. We read about what he taught. We read about what he promises you, that if you believe on him, you will not be condemned. You will be saved. The Bible says that when someone is born again, those are the words that Jesus used in that conversation with Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. When you are born again, he says that he comes and he makes his abode with you. He comes and he dwells with you. And he does the changing. So it's not about turning over a new leaf and saying, I'm not going to smoke or cuss or chew or do bad things. It's about trusting in him and what he's done for you. And it says, you are a new creation. And all of a sudden, you don't want to do some of those things you used to want to do. You don't like being in the places you used to like to be at. He does the changing. I would like to do something also that's a little bit different for us, because sometimes this does make sense to people and they feel like God is speaking to them. And perhaps that's you right now. But you don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. So what I would like to do is to say a prayer. Now, I want to preface this by saying that prayer is simply talking to God. Saying a prayer doesn't save anyone. But if the words I say reflect what you want to say to God, make my words your words and pray them to Him. It's simply helping you put to words what's happening in your heart. If you don't know how to pray, there's nothing extra special. You don't have to get down on your knees. You don't have to face a certain direction on the compass. It's simply talking to God. You don't even have to close your eyes. If you would like to do this, make my words your words and pray them to Him. You could say something like this: Dear God, I know that I am a sinner. I know that there's nothing that I can do to take away that sin, to wash myself clean. I believe that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sin. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask that He would be my personal Savior right now. And help me to live my life according to your word, the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. It is that simple. It is throwing yourself on the Lord Jesus, just like someone who sits in a chair. They rest their whole weight on it and trust in the chair. You are throwing your whole weight on the Lord Jesus and saying, I trust you. Please forgive me. Please be my Savior. If you did that for the very first time, we would love to hear from you. You could go to our website at Northside Bible Chapel and contact us, send us an email. We'd love to get in touch with you. If you're part of our Northside family, we would love to hear from you as well. There's nothing more important in a person's life than settling this issue of who they're going to serve, because you're going to serve someone, and the living God invites you to be with Him, to trust in Him. It's about relationship, not about religion. So I'd just like to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that if there's anyone who is hearing this message, that they would believe on Him as their personal Savior. It's something that only they can decide for themselves. Their parents can't do it. Their grandparents can't do it. Only they can. And so we commit that to you. And for those of us who do know and love the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, we just pray that you would help us to continue to grow in our relationship with Him, and that we would continue to live our life according to your word, the Bible. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us today.